If you really come to my head, you say fail one.
Let's see, we learned the Gemara on till Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. On top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. Mr. Lau tells me that his wife has yahrzeit tomorrow for her mother, Rezel Bas Nosna HaKoyin. Oh, today. So we dedicate the learning on Zecha Mishmasa. So we left off on the fourth line from the top of Samach Gimel. Omer Ablozim, Kol Adam She'ein Lo Isha Eino Adam. A person is not complete until he gets married. That's how the pasuk in Chumash reach an emor. Zochen Ekeved Bira'om, Vayikra Shmom, Adam, only considered Adam when he's married. That's a famous line from the Zohar, that a person who's single is considered a plag goof. That's She'nemar. The Amar Ablaza called Adam Shein Lo Karka, Eino Adam. What does it mean, Ein Lo Adam? You have nomads. They stay over here in one place, and then they eat up all the grass, they eat up all the pears here, then they ruin it over here, then they travel to another place. They're not kavua. Amen. As Adam has to have a house, has to live in a community, has to build up tikkun olam, you have to improve the world. Adam shein lo karka, he doesn't have a house and he doesn't have a community, doesn't stay in one place. Ain't Adam zishke mention. Emma, Shemaim la Shemaim la Hashem lo haris nasan lebnei Adam. The Rebbe Shem gave the world to bnei Adam, mentioned that they should build something up as opposed to nomads. They eat up the world, but they don't contribute anything. Omer Ablaza, my dechsev, the same Amor, everything is Ablaza. The Omer Ablaza, now the memra, my dechsev, esala ezekin egdai. The Rabbanu Shalom says he wants to create Chava. So isn't it a bit of a contradiction? Eza means that Chava is going to help out Adam. And Kenegdo maybe has the connotation of to fight with Adam. Faket. So that's what he says. When you get married, if Zacha, if you're worthy, then the wife will be Azrasoi. She'll help out the husband. If Lo Zacha, then it's going to be Kenegdo. Then the wife will give him Tzoris. Min HaShamayim, they'll see to it that the wife should give him tzaras. V'ika di Amri, others have another version of what Rav Loza lived in Eretz Yisrael. So the Talmud Bavli, Rav Loza was a Talmud or a Biechanan. Biechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael. So they heard over secondhand. Someone came from Eretz Yisrael to Bo, telling him over what Rav Loza said. So V'ika di Amri, another version has it that he said differently. Rav Loza Rami, Rav Loza had a contradiction between two psukim. On the one hand, Ksiv Kinegdoi. On the other hand, the Krinan Kinigdoi. I don't know exactly what it means. There is no Kriya Ksiv over here. Means one could read it. One could theoretically read it Kinigdoi. And what is Kinegdoi? According to this, Ikad Yamir, according to this second version of Rav Loza, according to the first version of Rav Loza, Ezer means the wife helps him. Kinegda means that the wife is misnage to the husband. According to the second version, Ikad Yamir, Kenegda means she helps him. But the Krinan, but one could have read it, Kenigdai, that Lenageg means to give Malkus, to give aggravation, to give Tzoris. So he says from the same word itself, the simple reading is Kenegda, that she helps him out, and one could have read it also that she gives him Tzoris. So he said the same as before, but a different, not on Ezer in Kenegda. If it's Zocha, then it's, if he's worthy, then it's Kenegdo, she's going to help him out. The Kenegdo is the same as Ezer. And if Lo Zocha, then it's going to be Minagdasa. Then she's going to give him Malkus. She's going to give him Gehenim. She's going to give him Mahata. Okay. Ashkeche Rabbi Yossi Le'Eliyahu. Rabbi Yossi was a Tana. So he used to have Gili Eliyahu. The Gemara says in different generations, Eliyahu Novi used to appear as a malach, in the form of a malach to Tanoim and Amoraim. So he once met up with Eliyahu Nabi and he asks him, Amalek Sibes, Eliyahu Kenegdai, he wants to know about Meijah is Rasa Lodim. If a person sits and learns all day long in the base medrash and he dams Shachas Minchamar, relates to him, what does the wife help out the husband? He learns in the base medrash and the husband davens, the wife is not there. So in what way is the wife Eliyahu Kenegdai? So he answers, Amalek. So Eliyahu Nabi answers, what do you mean? The husband has a farm, and he plants chitim. Shai? And he takes home the chitim and he eats chitim the way they are. No. They grind it up and they make flour, and then the wife makes cakes and cookies and everything. Other maybe chitim koises. Does he chew the raw chitim? He plants pishtan. He plants flax. So he pishtan loivesh. Does he wear flax? The wife makes a garment out of it. She makes thread out of it. She makes a garment out of it. So of course the wife helps out the husband. He's Rav Yosi the Tana is thinking. He goes to the Beis Medrash all day long. He's not thinking about eating the food and wearing the clothing that his wife makes for him. So Eliyahu Navi says, of course the wife helps out. It doesn't turn out. Lainim says doesn't turn out. Meira Einov Amidosay Al Ragwa. She's the one who gives him the ability to have food to eat and to wear clothing. The Omer Rav Lozer, most of the members are Rav Lozer here. The Omer Rav Lozer, another member of Maidach, Sevzos HaPam, Odom HaRishon, it says in the Pasuk, HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Odom HaRishon all the behemoths and the chayis. Then it says, Ola Odom LaMotza Eze Kenegdai. So the simple pshat in the Pasuk sounds as if he was looking to see maybe he'll marry a horse, maybe he'll marry a hippopotamus, maybe he'll marry a donkey, maybe he'll marry a bird. So that's what it means. The pasuk is very funny. What does it mean? So I think we once mentioned that Milton asked that question in Paradise Lost. John Milton, he asked that question. What was the Havamina? What was the Baruch Shalom's Havamina? That he shows him all the famous. So Milton gives a terrorist, he was kidding. Baruch Hashem was kidding with Odom HaRishon. So the Ravid wrote a sefer on the laws of Taras HaMishpacha. It's called Balei HaNefesh. So in the Hakdama to the Balei HaNefesh, he gives a different shot. He says, the Ribbono Shel Olam shows him all the behemoths and all the fowl and everything that he created a zocher separately and a keva separately, and they meet each other. Well, there was a havamina that Odom HaRishon may want to marry a hippopotamus, they want to marry a duck or a chicken. There was no such havamina. The Ribbono Shel Olam tells Odom HaRishon, teref tzu, see if you'll find a female human being. So he sees all the animals. He didn't find a female human being. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells him, you know why? Because it's interesting. The Ravid writes like this, that the human body has a tendency to reject foreign matter. So when they started to do organ transplants, so they have to prevent the body from rejecting the organ that they take from a different body. So they have a special medication, special chemicals for that they shouldn't reject. So the Ribbono Shel Olam tells Odom HaRishon, by the behemoths, there's no institution of marriage. So he created a zocher and he created a keva separately. They don't have to blend in together. But by Odom, by human beings, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted that there should be an institution of marriage. And how can you have an institution of marriage? The male body is going to reject the female. The female is going to reject the male. They're going to reject each other if each one will be created separately. So that's why Ribbono Shel Olam said, you're not going to find a female human being. I'm going to make the female from you, from the male. That's why it won't reject. Neither will reject the other one, because they're from the same body. That's what he says. After Chava was created, Sadam Marishan says, Ah, Zoy Sapam Etzem Etzamayin Ubasim Ibsori Zosi Karishi Kimish Lukoch Zos. That Chava was taken from Adam. So Reb Loza has a comment, Malamed, what do you mean Zoy Sapam? Now, finally, now, Chava was Etzem Etzamayin Ubasim Ibsori. She was created from Vayapalakim Tardei Malhu Adam. Ribbono Shel Olam made Adam Rishon fall asleep, and he took Achas Mitzaloisov. He created a Chaber from Adam's body. So he says, now this time it says myself. What does it mean? Zosapam? Is it this time as opposed to before when I saw the behemoths? So Rav Loza has a funny comment. Malamet shebo Adam al kol behemo v'chaya. He had Tashmish. That's the literal translation. It's very strange. Adam Rishon had Tashmish with all the animals. And he wasn't happy. What was the Havamina? He's going to want to marry hippopotamus. What was the Havamina? He wasn't happy. Then he says, Ah, Zaisapam. Now he's happy. So I saw some of them, several of them, on Yankiv, say they don't think that it's to be taken literally. They they don't quote that Ravik from the Hagdama to the Balei HaNefesh, but they say the same idea. Adam Rishon realized that by the behemoths, the Zoch and the Kevah were created separately, and they don't blend in together to constitute a marriage. They don't blend in together because each would reject the other. He says, Zos HaPam, now the Rebbe Shalom created Chava from me, now it's shayach that we should blend in together. There should be an institution of marriage. That's what the Mefarshim say. Two different Mefarshim on the side of Dan Yankee write like that. They don't think this member is to be taken literally. Should boil called behemah v'chayim. Means he was thinking about this idea that by the behemoths, the Zoch and the Kevah were created independently, and each one has own independent life, and by human beings, it's not supposed to be like that. In fact, I think I must have mentioned it once. There was a couple here in the neighborhood, I think, who didn't have children for many years. And then, I think, maybe 20 years or something. And then they finally had a child with treatment. And then when they finally had, there was a big simcha when they had the bris, and I remember when they had the bar mitzvah. So the doctor, the fertility doctor from Seattle, I think, was Jewish, and he also came into the bar mitzvah. So we knew the grandparents. So we came we stayed here in Queens for the bar mitzvah also. So at every meal they had people sit at different tables, so we all met each other. So during one of the meals I was sitting at the same table with the doctor. So the doctor was telling us that this was at least 10 years ago. The doctor was telling us that they still don't understand. The body tends to reject foreign matter. They still don't understand why the female body doesn't reject the sperm from the male. That should also be a foreign matter. The Ravitz Kasha. So the Ravitz said that's why the Baruch Hashem created Chava from Adam, that it shouldn't be a foreign matter. But he said in the world of medicine, they still don't understand. If the body always rejects foreign matter, why doesn't every Nekeva reject the Zerah HaBaal? So that's how the Mefarshim learned this Gemara. Not literally Shabbatim or Kol Behem Bechai. He was thinking that by the animals there's no institution of marriage, only by human beings. That's what he means. Zos HaPam. Now he sees the need to create Chaba from Adam. Etzem Etzom Abbasim Epsori, that there should be an institution of marriage. The Omer Ablazer has another memra, another comment. My Dechziv, HaKadosh Baruch Hu singles out Avram Avinu, Lech Lecha Me'artzecha. You should go to Eretz Yisrael, Ve'eschal Goygodol. And he says, V'nivruchu b'chol kol mishpachos v'adom. How do you translate the word V'nivruchu? So he's going to have two different translations. So the first pirush, the first translation is Miloshen ha'avrocha v'harkovet, to grift. When you take a branch from one tree and you attach it to a different tree, that's called havrocha. So the Rebbeinu Shlom says, the descendants of Avram Avinu constitute the Jewish people, and they will accept Gerim. All the other nations of the world will be able to blend in with the Jewish people. They can become Gerim and join the Jewish people. This is what the Rebbeinu Shlom told Adam HaRishon. Amali HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham Shtei Breches Toivos Yesh Li Lahavrich Becha. I want to graft. I want to graft two good branches, so to speak, into the Jewish people. Who were the two? The pasuk says, "Nivruchu b'cha kol mishpachos adama." So Tosha says the word "kol" is a ribuy. Usually, the word "kol" is marbe, something that you would have thought otherwise. So here, it's marbe amun umoyev. A man who converts ma'amun umoyev is not allowed to marry a Jewish girl. He can marry a Gioris, but he can't marry a regular Jewish girl. So that's called kol mishpachos adama. Even the mishpachos who are asur, we're going to see to it that they will also be grafted in with the Jewish people. How is that? Because the halacha says that amun umoyev is only asur the male who converts from amun umoyev, but a female, rusa moavia, was a woman, and namo hamoynis was also a woman. So amun umoyev were also the two mishpachas that you're not allowed to marry. They also were grafted into the Jewish people. Shtei breches toivos yesh loi lahavrich bach rus ha-ma'aviv v'namu ha-moynis. That's the first pshat. Then he gives another pshat, v'nivruchu b'cha miloshim brache. All the nations of the world will be blessed in the schus of the Jewish people. That's the second shot. Kol mishvois ha'adama is as if there were a semicolon after the Gemara doesn't have any periods, no paragraphs. So after nam ha'amayinus, it's as if there's a period or a new paragraph over here. Then he says another pshat, adish lama, kol mishvois ha'adama, the kol is marba, afilu mishvachas ha'adaras ba'adama, and mishvachas ela bishvil Yisrael. What do you mean, ha'adaras ba'adama? I don't know exactly what that means. Mishpachos Adama. What's kol? I don't know. That means the other side of the globe.
Baruch.
I don't know.
The word baruch is baruch and baruch. You also it's the Adama. The person is buried.
Ah, don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. Anyway, but he's clearly saying two different pshat. The first pshat v'nevruchum. I think the Rashbam says like that on that pasuk. And nevruchum iloshen havroche, that Hakadosh Baruch told Adam Arish, told Avraham Avinu, you're going to be the founding father of the Jewish people, and you will accept gerim. Nevruchum bechom iloshen havroche v'harkove. We'll graft in all the nations of the world will intermarry with the Jews because they'll convert. We accept gerim. And the second shot miloshen broche. Nevruchum bechom the schus of the Jewish people, all the nations of the world will be blessed. Afid mishpachas adoras ba'ador name is brachas al bishul yisa. Kol goyei ha'oretz. That's the same pasuk. Kol mishpachas adoma. Such a similar pasuk. Also, what do you mean kol goyei ha'oretz? Also, the word kol is a ribui. What's kol? Afid espinos abos migalia le'aspamia. Even the people who travel on boats all the time and they hardly ever are on the dry land. The sailors. They're hardly ever on the dry land because most of the time they're traveling for months and months from one continent to the other. So that's kol goyei ha'aretz. Kol is a ribui, even those who hardly ever live on the dry land. Afilu svinus, even those who live on the boats, the sailors, abos from one place to the other. Laspamia, emes brachas al bishul Yisrael. It's miloshim brachim. The Amar Ablozi has another memory.
The earlier hadras ba'adama is in contrast to the. So the first one's talking about those that are land connected to the land. The second limud is for those that are on the boats.
Yeah, but the first one, isn't he also commenting on the word kol?
No, it's like kol mishpachos ha'adama. So the emphasis is on the adama as opposed to the second limud, which is on the svinos.
Yeah, so the svinos, I think Taisa says. Afilu svinus, the little tesis, the drushes from the word kol, even though they're hardly ever on the dry land. And the first comment, mishpachas hadaras ba'adama, is not from the word kol.
No, but
just mishpachas ha'adama.
It's in opposition to the second lima, which is the svinus.
Okay, could be. The next memory is also not so clear. The Omer Ablaza, the second wide line, asidim kol bali umnias. People have different kinds of parnasa, so the day will come. Lasid lavoi sounds like Moshe Mashiach. I don't know. Moshe Mashiach, asidim kol bali umnias. Anyone who has any parnasa, sheyamdu ala karka, they'll all become farmers. How do you know? Shenema, v'yerdu me'oni yaseihem, they'll leave their boats on the other boat. Kol tevse mashot malochim kol chavle hayam el haoretz yam oidu. All the sailors. All the people who are the other parnassas, they'll all leave the boats and leave all the parnassas, and they'll decide to become farmers. So it's a maila. What? That's a maila chisan to become a farmer. So the next statement he says is the Yom Rablaza. He says it other memra, the same Rablaza. Enloch omnes pusam minakarka, the lowest form, the farmers in America. The farmers, they're not so intelligent, they don't go to the university, the people. The farmers is the lowest level of society, Shenemra, the Yerdu. That's the pasuk that he quoted. The Yerdu Mianas Aniyasem. So if it's the lowest level, so why does he say that they will come as Mashiach, the Kunan, everyone will leave their Parnasa, and they'll all become farmers. Why should they all want to become farmers if that's the lowest level of civilization? The lowest level of people are the farmers. It's the Marshad Reitzach over here. He doesn't have any pshat. I don't know. I thought that maybe the pshat was, there's a Gemara in Masechus Shabbos, where the Gemara comments on the Pasuk in Shaya, in Yeshaya. How does it say? So the Gemara says, when Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi took the whole body of Torah Shebaal Peh, he organized it in a logical order. You have the Mechilta in the Sifra and the Sifrei, you have the Drushas of the Torah Shebaal Peh in the order of the Pesukim and Chumash. Then you have the Mishnayos has an illogical order, not necessarily in the order that the things appear in the Chumash. So Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi organized everything in Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. Where did he get the Einfalt to make Shisha Sidrei Mishnah? So the Gemara says, based on that pasuk, Uhaya Emunas Itecha. Emunas corresponds to Seder Zroim, Itecha corresponds to Moed. Itecha is Manim. Choysen, Yeshua's Choysen is Noshim, and Yeshua's is Nezikin. Chachmas Vadas, Chachmas is Kochim, and Das is Taras. So Tosis quotes from the Yerushalmi, why does Emunas correspond to the Zroim? Because the farmers have a lot of Emunah. The other people are going to business, so they make big business deals and they calculate how, when the real estate is going to go up, well, when it's going to go down, or oil is going to go up, oil is going to go down, they make cheshbonos. The farmer trusts in the Baruch Shalom, he prays that it should rain, and he has more Emunah. He has less arrogance because he knows it's not based on his chachma. And it has more amunah than the other people. So I thought maybe that's what it means. That Lasi Lava, all the people have more amunah. That's how they'll all become farmers. I don't know. That's what the Maharsha asks. He doesn't understand. If Rabbi Loza says, Eloch omnis pchusam in akarka, the lowest form of parnasa, is to be a farmer, shenem of yardu, it's a yirida, for whatever omnis you have, it's a yirida to become a farmer. So what does he say before, based on the pasuk, asidim, the day will come that everyone will become a farmer? Why should everyone want to become a farmer? Unless that, maybe that's what it means. That being a farmer indicates that you have a lot more emunah. I don't know.
When the
Mashiach comes,
everybody's going to get up.
They'll
be close to the earth.
Uh-huh. What, they'll meet
Chiyas
Hamesim, you mean?
Yeah,
Chiyas Hamesim. Don't know. Maybe it has something to do with that. I don't know. Then the Gemara has also a strange comment. The Tanoim and Amaroim not only said halacha, they would say medical advice to their Talmidim. We don't follow the medical advice in the days of the Gemara. That was medicine from 1,500 years ago, from 2,000 years ago. Just like the Tanoim followed the doctors of their generation, so we should follow the doctors of our generation. But the Rabbonim should tell the Rabbonim in the shuls and the Rabbonim in the yeshivas should tell the Balabatim, tell the Talmidim that they have to take good care of their health and they should be careful to listen to go for care of the doctors. You have to follow the doctors of your generation. So the Amoraim would also tell the Talmidim what's healthy and what's not healthy according to the doctors of their time. And also people have to make a parnasa. So the Tanoim and Amoraim would give tips to the Talmidim, to the Balabatim, what parnasa is reasonable, what's not reasonable, and what makes sense to do, what doesn't make sense to do. That's part of the chiyuv of transmitting Torah values to the next generation. You have to tell them how to make a normal parnasa, and what's a reasonable parnasa, and so on. So the Gemara says, Rav Loza Chazi Alahi Ara, he once saw a field, the Shodeh Bekraba Lepusya. They planted the field widthwise instead of lengthwise. Rashi has two pshatim over here. Kraba can mean two things. Sometimes Kraba means cabbage, and sometimes Kraba means to plow. That they had, so whatever it means over here, they had plowed the farm widthwise instead of lengthwise. In order to plant something. So he gave a tip to the owner of the field. He said, that's not an intelligent way to plant. You should have done it the other way. Now that you did it the wrong way, Omalei, so he tells the Balakarka, the farmer, now it's already too late because he already plowed it the wrong direction. If you would have plowed it, and if you plow it now, in the right direction, it's too late. You already ruined your field for this year. If you'll be in business, it would be more intelligent. The way you plant it doesn't make any sense. So the Tanoim and Amoraim have to tell the Talmidim, Eitzis in business, how to in farming. If they have a good tip on farming, they should reveal it to the Talmidim, to the Balabatim. Then on another occasion, Rav also Rabbi Yechanan, Rav, first generation of Amoraim. Rabbi Loza was the Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan, second generation. So this is Rav, was the first generation of Amoraim. Rav Ole Ben Yeshivole, he was going in the field, Chazina de Karnaifon. So he saw the wind was blowing and the bundles of Tvua were bumping into each other. So he says, I don't understand what's so bad about that. I don't know anything about farming. So he said, if the wind is going to blow in such a way that the bundles are going to bump into each other, then it's not going to be matzliach parnasa wise. Best of all, given if he would have been in business. Because in farming, to do batlanish, you're not going to get anyway. Omar Rava, he means that kind of farming. If you know how to farm properly, you can make a lot of money. But if you do farming batlanish, then you're going to lose it. And Rava makes a comment, stop attacking. He says that Rava makes a comment, it's always better to be in business rather than to be in farming. Mea zuzi biiska, if you have $100 and you invest it in iska and in investments, so every day you'll have Bisra v'chamra. Kol yama, every day you'll have a supper, Bisra v'chamra, you'll have flesh and wine. Means you'll do well. You'll have a good parnasa. Me'a zuzi b'ara, if you have $100 and you invested in farming, so you're going to eat milcha v'chafura. You're going to have vegetables with salt. Not going to have flesh and wine every day. You're not going to be so rich. Below od, not only that, elo, if you'll be in business, you'll live in a fancy apartment and you'll sleep in a fancy bed. And if you're a farmer, then you're probably going to migan yalei ha'ara. Because you work on a farm, you're going to go to sleep on the karka. You won't be sleeping on a comfortable mattress and a comfortable bed. Omram yalei tigre. And because you're a farmer, you're going to get into fights with your neighbors. Implying as if when you're in business, you don't get into fights with other people. I don't know. I would think that in business they get into more fights. I don't know, but that's where Rava's experience was. So Rava sounds like he's recommending no one should go into farming. No one should go into farming. Sounds like everyone should go into business. I don't know. Amar Papa, if you have a toss-up, you have a little farm, so you can plant your own wheat and make your own flour and make your own bread, cake and cookies or whatever, or you can buy it in the store. It's going to be the same. The cost is going to be the same. It's not going to cost more if you buy it in the store. So he recommends Zerah, you should plant it on your own. You shouldn't buy it from someone else. Even though the price is going to be exactly the same, because it's a bracha will be chal. If you do the farming yourself, a bracha will be chal. I don't know. It's based on a pasuk in Tanakh. I don't know. Then he says, what if you really need money? You ran out of money, what should you do? So he says, Zavin, sell some of your belongings, sell some of your... Oh, everybody has some extra furniture. So he says, sell... The Gemara is going to say it goes on furniture. Sell some of your extra furniture, v'lo tezel, and don't go into debt. Don't become a poor man. Don't think that you'll schnorre money temporarily and then everything will straighten out. He says, no, sell some of your furniture and don't become poor. Why? Because v'hani mili bistarke, that's you should sell furniture, extra furniture in the house. Aval glima, but if you have an extra garment, that you should not sell. Why? So the gears apparently is Dilma la mistramile, because later on when you will get money, when you will come back to have money, and you want to buy a garment, now they make by machinery, they have, in fact, they make 5,000 suits exactly the same. So if I sold the suit because I was in need of money, then I'll buy the exact same suit the next year. You're going to have another 5,000 suits next year. But in the days of the Gemara, every suit was made by hand, and sometimes it won't fit. They don't have every single size, fat people, skinny people, tall and short. If you're going to sell the furniture, you can always get furniture later on. When you'll get back some money, you buy a piece of furniture. It won't be a problem. But clothing that should fit, that's a mazel. You're not always going to be so successful to get clothing that's going to fit. And then he's giving advice. They have to give medical advice and business advice and parnasa. He's giving advice on everything. Then he says, Tum v'loy tashbitz. Rashi translates, if you have a hole in the wall, so you should fix it right away, stop up the hole right away. Let's say if you have a leak in a faucet, so you're going to leave it for 2 years. They're going to charge you money because you're using the faucet as leaking water. The government's going to charge you for all that water. So in the days of the Gemara, if you have a hole in the wall, fix it right away, because if you're not going to fix it right away, it's going to become a bigger hole. And it'll just be a bigger mess. So you have to fix more later on. And then he says, Tum v'lo tashbitz. Don't try to make a big spiel. Fill up the hole and shine. And then, Shvotz v'lo tivni. But then, when you have to fill in the hole, so rather than knocking down the whole wall and putting up a whole new wall, that's not so intelligent. He says, just fix the hole. Fix the hole and don't redo the whole building. Why? Because they had a tradition. Today, it's not exactly so, I don't think. Shkoloisik bibinyan mismasken. If a person goes into construction business, he's going to become poor. He'll lose all of his money. It depends which country, which generation. That was that Koloisik bibinyan mismasken. You'll become poor. That's in Soita Dafir Aleph, it says on the side. And the Gemara learns it out from the Pasuk, Ori Miskinois Lefarai, that the Farah made the Jewish people build cities. Ori Miskinois, why it's called Miskinois? Because whenever you go into construction, so you lose, you become a miskin, become a poor man. Today I think people in construction become wealthy, they don't become poor. Okay, it depends on which generation. But he felt compelled, these Amorim felt compelled to give over all of their traditions that applied in the Middle East, at least at that time, to their Talmidim. Yeah, what's the story with buying real estate? So he says, Kfot Zovin Ara. When it comes to buying real estate, jump into it and buy the real estate. It's buying real estate is always a smart investment. To be in construction, they say, is not a smart idea. But to buy real estate, that's always good. When it comes to getting married, don't rush so quickly into getting married. Musun means slow down, hamtein. Yisiv itza. Make sure that that's a good shidduch. Don't rush into a marriage. There's nothing wrong with rushing into buying real estate, but it's not a smart idea to rush into a marriage. It may not be for each other. Then one of the recommendations they give is Nechos Darga Unesivitza. When you marry a girl, best is that the wife should look up to the husband. The husband is Mukhayib Bikvayd Ishta and the wife is Mukhayib Bikvayd Bailo. So isn't that a contradiction? Ishta's Mukhayib in the cover of the other one, it's a wash. So no one should be Mechabed anybody. So the answer is no. The wife is Mukhayib to be Mechabed the husband, to look up to the husband. The Rambam says she should look up to the husband like a sar, as if he's an important person. If he's nobody special, so there's no one to look up to. So that's why the Gemara recommends. The Chos Darga and the Sivitz, and marry a woman who's on a lower level of society than you are. In our generation, there were daughters of big Talmidei Chachamim who married husbands who were very big Talmidei Chachamim, but the daughter wasn't able to judge how great her husband was, but she knew her father was the biggest Talmid Chachamim, and they treated the husbands like dirt. They didn't treat the husbands nicely. So that's not a smart idea. So you should always, when you marry a girl, Nechos Darga, go down a level, and see if it's a married girl is on a lower level than society, so she will look up to the husband. So that's, the wife is Mechayev B'Kvayd by law to look up to the husband. And the husband's b'chuy b'kvodish, that means he should buy things for his wife, buy nice dresses and so on.
But this contradicts, there's another advice that a person should marry the daughter of a Talmud Chacham.
Yeah, yeah.
So it seems contradictory. Right?
It is a good kasha. The Gemara recommends to marry a Bas Talmud Chacham, yeah. Gemara recommends to marry a Bas Talmid Chacham for a different reason. One reason is a voice sidbok, yidavik b'talmid chacham, should always become friendly with Talmid Chacham. Say, marry a Bas Talmid Chacham, That's one way of coming close to a Talmud Chacham. Uvos Tidbak, one becomes closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by becoming closer to a Talmud Chacham. Then Gemara gives another reason, a different Gemara. In case the husband will die, the wife knows how to raise the children properly. Usually, in the days of the Gemara, the husband was in charge of the Chinuch HaBonim. Today, a lot of times, the husband is running around the world making money, and the wife takes care of the Chinuch. I was always in the yeshiva all day, so my wife took care of the chinuch of all of our children. But in the days of the Gemara, the husband would take care of the chinuch. So if the husband dies, who's going to be mechanech the children? So if he married, the Gemara says, Shemais, if the husband will die, so the wife will know how to raise the children to be b'nei ter. The Gemara gives two reasons. Yes, so that seems to contradict this. I don't know. It's a good question. But that's what he recommends. Nachos darga nesivit, so that the wife should look up to the husband. That's considered a healthy marriage.
Rav Gifter brings on Pirkei Torah, Parshas Tetzav Vatakwe Velefasar Nochicha. So the Ibn Ezra says that Aaron was chosen to be the Kohen Gadol because they married him Yuchesis. It says Vayika Chamer Sol Sheva Basim Minora Bachof Nachshom Lo Yisha. So the Ibn Ezra says the Parshas Vayivan. This Parsha, he says, Zez Sod HaKohuna. He married her, and he says that Sod HaKohuna. So Rav Gifter brings down in the Pirkei Torah, in Parshat Tetzaveh, this Ibn Ezra, that the reason why Aaron was chosen because he married a Miuchesis as opposed to Moshe, who married a Midianis because he didn't have a choice. So he quotes this in the name of my wife's uncle, Rav Chaim Elzari. Rav Gifter says he got a letter from Chaim Elzari. So Rav Chaim Elazari said that Efshat they should be marry a Bas Talmud Chacham because of who she is. He became the Kohen Gadol because he married a Miuchesis. Mm-hmm. So if he married a Bas Talmud Chacham, she enhances the stature of the husband. That's in, mm-hmm. in the Pirkei Torah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the Gemara says, when it comes to marrying, the Gemara recommends you marry a girl on a lower level of society. When it comes to befriending someone, a man, so sak darga, go up a madrega, the charshush bina. When you're picking a friend to be buddy-buddy with, try to elevate yourself. Try to become friendly with people who are greater than you, so you'll pick up milas tibis and chachmas from them. Yeah.
Having
sort of their rights, but I'll yeah. Sometimes in some children, they always are attracted to the shvachet people because they can balabataba over them, and then later in life, they're left with these shvachet friends. So what good is that? The Gemara recommends you should always become friendly with the people who are mochashavet people. You'll pick up a chachma from them. Yeah. Then the Gemara is quoting so many different members from Rabbi Elazar, so they quote another. The Amar Rabbi Elazar, another member. Ein peronis bo la'odem ela b'shvil Yisrael. Anytime that there's a Muhammad, whenever there's some tragedy in the world, it's all the fault of the Jews. That's what the anti-Semites claim. But that's what the Gemara says also. All Muhammads in the world are because of Bittul Torah. The Gemara says because of Bittul Torah. So the Rabban Shalom makes a war in Vietnam. And he wants the Talmid Chachamim to realize that we're not learning well. We should learn, we should be mischazik ourselves and learning better. If we don't get the hint, then he brings the war closer to us. And if we still don't get the hint, then it brings the war in our country. We get it all. But really, all the Muhammads in the world, the Netziv has a long essay on this. In his Hakdamah to his commentary on the Shiltas, quotes many Gemaras like that. That all the wars in the world are the fault of the Jewish people that were not learning. So he says, all paranis in the world is bishvil Yisrael shenema, the pasuk Hirati goyim, the Rebbe Shalom wiped out nations, nashamu panoisam, he wipes out nations, hechrafti chitzoisam, and the pasuk says, why did he wipe out these nations? Amarti ach tiru oisi tikhi musar, he wants the Jewish people to take musar. So why does he wipe out the nations? First, he wipes out a nation far away. We should take a lesson. And if we don't get the lesson, he brings it closer to us. But it's all the big tragedies in the world are to give musa to the Jewish people.
Today's parsha.
Yeah. What do you mean today's parsha, that one?
Hashem's Baruch is punishing the world so in order we should learn a lesson.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's this Gemara, yeah. Rav Havi Mifta Merabchia. Rav Ishmael, they both learned in Eretz Yisrael. And then they both decided, even though they were living in Eretz, they decided they have to go to Bavel to make yeshivas. So they both traveled to Bavel because there was very shvacha learning there. Before Rav Ishmael came to Bavel, they were from the people, but they were big Amoratsim. So they were cooking basa b'cholav and they didn't know the dinim. They meant l'shem shayah, they didn't know any of the dinim. So when he was bidding farewell to Rav Chiya, when he was moving to Chutz Lords, Rav Havi Miftem Rav Chiya, when he was leaving him, Amalei Rachmanu Litzloch, Mimidi Dikoshim Imoisa, the Rebbeinu Shlom should spare you from those things that are even worse than death. So the Gemara says, what can be worse than death? You die, that's the end. What kind of a bracha did he give Rav Chiya? The Rebbeinu Shlom should spare you from the thing that's worse than dying. Nofak dok v'yashkach, Rav Chiya went and he looked through Tanakh and he found a pasuk in Kehelet. Motzi ani mam imam, says Suisha v'goyma. Sometimes a man is married to a witch and he has such tzoris from his wife. It's mam imam, it's worse than death. So that's what he gave my bracha. You shouldn't have any tzoris from your wife. So the Gemara says, why was this on top of his head? Because he had a wife who gave him aggravation. So the Gemara says, Rav, his wife gave him agmas nefesh. When he would ask his wife, could please make this for supper, of the lechimtzi, she made something else. When he said, can you please make chimtzi, of the lechlufchi, she always did faker. So Kigodl Chiyabre, he had a son who was named after Rav Chiya. Rav Chiya was his uncle. He was the uncle of Rav, and then when he had a son, he named after Rav Chiya. Probably his uncle passed away already. So Kigodl Chiyabre, when Rav's son Chiya got older, and he was old enough to realize what's going on, so whenever Rav would tell his son, go tell mommy, I'd like to have this for supper, so the son realized, mother's going to do fakeret. So he said fakeret. So when the father said, go tell mommy, I'd like to have fleshiks, so he told the mother, daddy would like to have milchiks, so she made fleshiks lahachas. And then when Rav would tell the son, go tell mommy, I'd like to have milchiks, so she would make everything always fakeret. So the son chap what's going on, the mother always does lahachas the father. Afechlo, so he said, whatever the father said, up to gazak fakir. Omalei, so Rav tells the son, your mother changed. I said, you're schus, your mother's changing. She's behaving, she's acting normal now. Al yelachimach, your mother is improving. Because when you give the message, she does the right, she makes what I'd like to have for supper.
We just learned a book, that's the punishment because he didn't do the right thing. That's why he has problem with his wife.
What do you mean he didn't do the right thing?
If you're not going to be Elohim yet, then that's going to be your punishment. We just learned that before.
Yeah, but Mistami was an Elohim yet. Mistami was. Yeah. So Rav asks his son, hey, it looks like your mother improved. She's not doing lahachas anymore. Amalei. So the son tells him, no, daddy. I know who the koafichna. Whenever you tell me what you like to have for supper, I tell mommy fakert, and she does fakert. So she does what you really wanted. Amalei. So Rav said, why? I'm such a fool. I should have done that all along. I should have realized whatever I say, she's going to do fakert. So whatever I want, I should say fakert. So he said, I should have realized that all along. Hala the karmainchi, that's what the Velt Zark, the Nofik Minoch, your children who are younger than you, Taima Melfoch, they can teach you some new tricks. Your children can teach you new tricks. And I should have done that all along. Whenever she wanted to know what I'd like to have for supper, I should have said fakir. However, but you shouldn't, whenever I say what I want, you shouldn't misrepresent to your mommy. Because Shanema, the Pasuk says, Lamed Lushanim Daber Sheka, that's not right. You get used to telling a lie, so now you're telling a lie to be meshaker mishum dake shalom. Really, strictly speaking, is mutter. But every single day, you're going to tell the mother fakert. You're going to tell the mother, daddy would like to have this. So that you shouldn't get used to telling a lie, because then your whole life is going to be full of lies. Young children, you have to train them to tell the truth, Because when young children, they're used to, all children tell them their fantasies and they tell lies. You have to train the young children at a very young age to have to always tell the truth. So he said, you shouldn't do that. I'm going to do it now. So when you tell your mother, when I want fleshiks, I'll tell you, tell mommy I want to have milchiks. I can say it. So you'll tell the truth to your mother. Daddy said he wants that milchik. So she'll make fleshiks. But you shouldn't misrepresent what I said, because you're going to get used to telling lies. So the Gemara says that Rav had trouble from his wife.
Why did she do this?
There are all kinds of people in the world. Contrarians. They like to do
this. This is really evil. I mean, she doesn't gain anything in the process.
I don't know. Hichvets. So Rav had trouble from his wife, and Rav Chi also had trouble. Rav gave a bracha to Rav Chi when he was leaving in Eretz Yisrael. He gave the Baruch Shem should spare you from something that's worse than death. That means Mertani Mavus and Seisha. So Rav Chi the Gemara says, how become tzar leit fis? His wife also gave him aggravation.
Rav Chi gave Rav the bracha.
I thought Rav gave Rav Chi the bracha. What does it say? Rav havi mifti mepri amale rachman. Oh, I don't know who gave the bracha to whom. I don't know.
Rav gave him a bracha.
But it didn't help for both of them. Rav Chi had trouble from his wife, and Rav had trouble. I don't know. So the Gemara says, Rav Chi havi gam tzar leit fis. His wife gave him aggravation. And nonetheless, when he would be walking in the street and he would find something in the street, in Aveda, if he live in a city where the rive of the people are Nachrim, so then you're not Mukhiyev to do a Shabbos Aveda. You assume that the Aveda was lost, Aveda's Nachri. You're not Mukhiyev to give it back. So, Ki Avimashkech Midi, when he would find something in the street and he had a right to keep it, Havit Sarleh Besudre, he would wrap it up in his rabbinical garment. A sudra is a beged that the rabbonim used to wear. I saw some of the mefarshim on Dan Yankiv say, why did he wrap it up in his rabbinical garment? To show the wife that she shares in his learning, because she prepares the food for him, she makes the clothing, she washes all the laundry, she raises the children. So like you have an arrangement of Yisachar and Zvulun, so the schar that Yisachar gets for learning is going to be shared with Yisachar, the Gemara says. So he wanted to show his wife that she shares in his rabbinical schusim. So he would wrap up the aveda in his suder. He would give the valuable aveda to his wife.
Means he found it? Or you
see,
he found the bargain someplace.
Maybe that's what it means. It means he found a bargain. Okay. So he would bring it to his wife. Omale Rav, so Rav would see this, because Rav was a nephew of Rav Chi. Rav would see it. So Omale Rav, but your wife is a witch. So why are you so kind? You go bend over backwards to get a matonis and so on. Amalei, I still owe a debt of gratitude to my wife. Dayenu, we owe the debt to the wife. She megadlus is banena matzila saisana menache. The wife raises our children, and because we're married, so we don't look for other women. So it's, they save us from sinning. Yeah. The Gemara tells a story, another story. Makrelei Rav Yehuda Rav Yitzchak Brei, the father was teaching his son Tanakh. So he was teaching him Kohelet. So it says, Motzani Mami Mami says, Isha. He says, sometimes a woman is a witch and the husband suffers. So the son asks the father, what's an example? What is Shlomo HaMelech writing about? That sometimes a person is married and the wife is worse than, he suffers so much from the wife, it's worse than dying. Amalei Kigon Man. So he says, go nimach, like your mother. Apparently he knew the shtick that his mother did. He knew the shtick, but he's just wondering, what is the pasuk? What's pshat the pasuk? So he says, like your mother, it's worse than die. Freg de Gemara, but the father was teaching his son, Rabbi Yehuda was the father who was teaching his son, Rabbi Yitzchak. He was teaching him Mishle also. Didn't only teach him Kalis, taught him Mishle. So when he came to the pasuk, came to that pasuk, a person should rejoice with his first wife, the girl that he married when he was young. They were both young and they fell in love and they got married. So Rabbi Yehuda was teaching his son Mishle, so he said, The first wife that you have, that's gevaldik. So the son asked the father, kigoyin man, what's an example of that, that the person only has karetz ruach from his first wife? So he says, like your mother, kigoyin imach. So the Gemara says, isn't it a contradiction? On the one hand, he says, that's the best shidduch that I have, is your wife, your mother. We fell in love when we were both young. Ishta rishayna, eshis nurayach. That's gevaldik. And then when he says the other person, what's on your mother? He says, so Isha, he says, that goes on your mother. Isn't it a contradiction? So the Gemara, no, they're both true. And the Gemara, miskip takifel, she was a very tough cookie, and she used to aggravate him a lot. And then, but after she would aggravate him, half a minute later, she would calm down. He would speak to her and she would calm down. So it's both. It was Moitzi Kaver Srach Mishta Rishayna. And on the other hand, she was it was Mami Mavis. That's why the Gemara said, you got to be careful, you shouldn't rush into marriage. Buy real estate, that should, you should rush, the Gemara said. Chap and buy the real estate, it'll always be a good investment. But don't chap to get married. Make sure that that you'll be able to live in peace and harmony with the wife. Frek the Gemara, Hechidami Isha Ra. He said before, what's an example of an Isha Ra? Hechidami Isha Ra. Zagdigmar, Marabai, Mekashtale Taka, or Mekashtale Puma. She prepares a beautiful table for supper. Husband comes home, everything is beautiful. And then she opens up her mouth and she starts cursing him until she aggravates him for 15 minutes until he starts eating supper. Then when he eats supper, she comes down and it's a beautiful meal. So that's also an Isha Ra. Rav Omar, another example, it doesn't necessarily mean that Abai and Rav had trouble from their wives, they're just giving a mashal that they heard from other people. Rabbanim hear a lot of stories from the Balabatim where the couples don't get along. So Rav gives another mashal, the kashta le'taka, she makes a beautiful spread, the table, taka is the table where the food is, mahadra le'gaba, and then she turns her back to the husband, so she doesn't want to eat with him. She makes him, she's obligated, the wife is obligated, that's one of the marital obligations. The wife has to prepare all the food. But then she doesn't want to eat with the husband, or she eats separately. So she gives him agma steps. That's also an Isha Ra. If a person gets married, his averis are forgiven. Why are they forgiven? Not because he gets aggravation from the wife. No, it means perfect. We said Adam Hashalom is one who is married, that's normal. So when he gets married, he becomes normal. So then whatever Averis he did before was Bacharish Shtik, and now he's a different person. So now the Averis are forgiven. Shinemar, where do you see in Tanakh that when you get married, Averis are forgiven? Matzah Isha Matzah Tov, Yofik Ratzah Me'Hashem. The Yafik Ratzah Me'Hashem means that Rabbanu Shalom will forgive, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Merutzah from him. The Yafik Ratzah Me'Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Merutzah.
Achilas Avonos by Chasunah.
Yeah.
Machas.
Machas Pasishma. Yes. Yes. The Yafik Ratzah Me'Hashem, one of the brachas in the Shema'etz where you say, Horotze B'Shuvah. So in the English translation, they usually translate, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do tshuva. So Rav Soloveitchik said he doesn't think that that's pshat. HaRotze B'Tshuva means he's misratze b'tshuva. He will be appeased. If we do tshuva, he will be appeased. He will forgive us. Misratze, that's v'yofik rotzan, me'Hashem. Means HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be misratze from the person, because he's going to menshel zachais. When he gets married, he becomes normal. Then the Gemara has a famous agadah that this is in Brochus also, they just learned it. The Marovo in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is to the west of Bavel. So the Marovo in Eretz Yisrael to the west, Kinosev in Ishitza, when a man would get married, Amri Leh, they would ask him after a week, they would ask him already, Amri Leh Hochi, they would say like this, is it Motzah or is it Moitzeh? It was a biblical allusion. Is it Motzah based on the Pasuk Motzah Isha Motzah Toif? Or is it might say the wife is a witch? Which is it? They expected him to know already. He's only married a week. So he can already tell whether it's going to be Matzah or Moitzeh. Okay.
Why Daphne Eretz Yisrael?
I don't know. Maybe the new Tanakh better in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know.
It's
not about
I can, suggest, I can suggest a reason if you want to hear.
That's it?
In the Chiddush of Yosef Nechemia, you know, Yosef Nechemia Corner, sir? So he brings down from the Likutei Chavir, the Talmud of Chasam Sofer, Pshat in this Gemara. He says that the Basco that Aboyim Yom Kodem Leisav Lad only operates in Eretz Yisrael. That Basco does not operate in Chutz La'aretz. So every Zivug Chutz La'aretz has a din of Zivug Sheni, because there's no Basco, right? The Gemara at the beginning of Sota. So we say Ein Mezavdin Lo La'olam Elofim Maso. So by in Chutz La'aretz every Shidduch is Elofim Maso. So you don't have to ask Motzel Motzel. You just look at the Chosim.
Well,
if the chassan is a tzaddik, you don't have to say motzel motzel. But Eretz Yisrael, it's only b'mazel. So that's when you have to ask.
That's a big chiddush that the baskel is only in Eretz Yisrael.
You have the Likutei Chavir?
I don't have it. I know in the library they have it.
Take a look on this Gemara.
Because the first half in Saita, the Gemara has this long story that they don't say.
Rabbi Yosef Chemia quotes in the parshas by Yetzay on the passage by Yifka v'mok ma'u.
Okay. Well,
now I have to buy you Yosef Nechemia.
Yeah. Okay.
It's not about
Kashmir
to ask this question.
The Mefarshim on the Gemara ask on everything over here. He says Kigon Man, and he says like your mother, like this, like my wife. Isn't it all of this is not Lashon Hara? So they say they were trying to interpret the Psukim in Tanakh. They were interpreting the Psukim in Tanakh. Yeah, but if they ask the Chassan, what?
The one on the top of the Amud. So yeah. Learning the Chassan, so he says Kigon.
Yeah.
This one, they go ask the Chassan.
Yeah.
I'm trying to
puzzle. I don't know. It's a very good question. What kind of a question is that to ask? I don't know. The question is very strong. Amar Rava, Isha Rava, if a person is married to a witch, mitzvah lagarshin. There is an institution of gerushin. So if a person fell in and his wife gives him aggravation, so it's a mitzvah to get divorced. And Emma, garesh letz, v'yetze modon. The machlekes will leave. Madon means a din, the yishbas din, the kolon. We won't have any more aggravation. So sometimes it's a mitzvah. We always try to avoid getting divorced. And why says kol magarish ishta rishayna, afina mizbech married all of the moes. There's a gemara in the end. I think the last daf in Gittin, magarish ishta rishayna afina mizbech married all of the moes. I think the Maharsha says, well, what do you mean afina mizbech married all of the moes? The mizbech is used to seeing animals killed every day, and you're pouring the blood on the mizbech. But even the mizbech is going to be crying if a couple gets divorced. But if it's a witch, so he says mitzvah lagarsh. Sometimes you have no choice. Mitzvah lagarsh. I don't know. Apparently, he says they got along with their wives. They pulled through. If you can't function. If he can't function every day, there's machlekes, so then mitzvah legarsha.
But good children.
Yeah, if you know how to calm your wife down, even if she's a little high strung, so mitzvah shalot legarsha. Okay. Leo, my brother, another member of it says ishrog sabosam ruba. Let's say a person wants to divorce his wife. And she has a big suda. If he divorces, he has to pay $500,000. He doesn't have $500,000. So what's it then? You're not allowed to divorce your wife unless you can pay her ksuba right away? So that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. Many poskim hold not so. Many poskim hold you can pay it out over the years if you don't have money. So you'll pay it out. I think the minority opinion is that if you can't afford to pay the ksuba, you're not allowed to divorce your wife. Because you're creating a chiyuv ksuba. The ksuba is only collectible when the husband dies or the husband divorces her. And if you're going to divorce the wife and you don't have money to pay, so that's not right. You're creating a chiyuv ksuba and you can't live up to it. But I think we aren't passing like that. I think we're passing. Even ksubasa maruba, you can divorce her. But it's going to be an uncomfortable feeling. So Rabbi gives a recommendation if a fella is married to a wife and she's giving him a hard time. And he does want to divorce her because he can't afford to pay the ksuba ksubasim ruba. So what should he do? What's an etza? Tzarasa b'tzida, marry another wife. So you'll show your affection for the other wife. So this one will shape up. This wife will shape up. Marries another wife, it will cost him twice as much for the clothing and everything. Okay, if it works, it works. Yeah, what kind of an eitzah is this? That if his wife gives him a hard time, he marries another wife, that'll give musa to the first wife. The Amar Inshi, the Velt says, the chavrata, the best musa to give to a wife if she's not behaving is to marry another wife, and she'll see how you're lovey-dovey with the other wife, not with her, so she'll shape up. A little bit silta, rather than, how does Rashi say, silta of coats, rather than poking a thorn into the wife and punishing her because she's being miserable to the husband, the best way to punish the wife is to marry another wife, and the first wife will realize she has to shape up.
Second one could be worse than the first.
Could also be, yeah. Yeah. I guess Robert probably gave this advice on different occasions, gave this advice to his Talmidim. He had a lot of Talmidim. Yom HaRavah, we have a pasuk in where is it? In Mishlei. A lot of psukim like this in Mishlei. Kosha isha ra ki yom sagrir. If a person is married to a witch of a wife, it's like a miserable day when it's raining and cold and freezing and everything. Shenema. Delef torei bi yom sagrir v'ish es mendonim nishtava. If it's freezing outside and it's raining and it's miserable, that's like one isha eshes mendonim, a wife who's giving you machlokes all the time, nishtavot shava, it's equal, it's miserable. Just like when the weather is miserable, so a marriage is miserable if the wife gives you a hard time. The Amar Rava says another kind, boy rei kama tova isha tova. If the wife gets along with her husband, look how wonderful it is. The wife doesn't get along. There's no shalom bayis. How terrible. A pasuk. Where's that matzah isha matzah teiv? That was a pasuk in Mishlei. No? That was in Mishlei, I think. Matzah isha matzah teiv. So what does it mean, matzah isha matzah teiv? So Rabbi says there are two ways to read the pasuk. If the pasuk really means literally matzah isha matzah tov, a man has a wonderful wife and that's wonderful. So you see, kama tov isha tov shakasa meshapcha. The pasuk praises matzah isha matzah tov. It's a wonderful thing when the wife gets along with the husband. But others interpret the pasuk v'betorim ishtoikro. The pasuk in Mishlei really means you should be married to the Torah. A person should learn Torah, and it's a mashal. So still, the fact that Shlomo HaMelech uses that as a mashal, kama tov isha tov shatar nimshal abba. Look how wonderful it is when you have a wife who gets along with her husband, that the Shlomo HaMelech is giving a mashal. A person should get married to the Torah and be happy with learning matzah isha matzah tov, and it's compared to wonderful wives. They see how wonderful it is when a wife is good with her husband, when they're shalom bais. And the same, the reverse kama ra isha ra. Because the other pasuk was where motani marim mavus, that was in Koheles. Dichsid motani marim mavus is suisha. So what is that pasuk referring to? That pasuk in Koheles. So if the pshuto shal mikra, if it goes on a wife who's miserable to the husband, ibegav amishtoi kro. If the pasuk is talking about a miserable wife who doesn't have shalom bais with the husband, so don't you see kamara isha ra shakas migana? The pasuk in Koheles condemns. It's terrible. But others interpret the pasuk in Koheles that it goes on Gehenim. It doesn't refer to a miserable marriage, but there's no shalom bayis. It refers to people who go to Gehenim. But Shlomo HaMelech wrote Koheles, and he gives a mashal. He describes how miserable Gehenim is. It's like being married to a miserable wife. So you see how awful a miserable marriage is, that Gehenim is compared to the Gehenim Ishtoikra, and if that person is not talking about a wife, it's really a mashal for Gehenim. So look how kamara isha rosh Gehenim nimshol abo. When Shlomo HaMelech wants to give a mashal for Gehenim, so he compares Gehenim to an isha rosh. Okay, the moral of the story, you have to marry, you have to be careful when you get married. Then they quote a pasuk, Hidene Mevi Rosh the Navi, where is it? Nehemiah. In the Navy, Rasha lo yuchla lotzis men. Rabban Shlom tells the Navi he's going to bring a predicament that they won't be able to krich arise from the predicament. So that was, he was telling them a nevuah for the future. Not only does the nevuah refer to that instance, whatever the case happened to be there in Yirmiyah, it's also a reference to Isha Rok, Subasa Meruba. It sounds like if a person is married And if he gets divorced, he can't afford to pay the $500,000 for the ksuba. It sounds like he can't. The simple read in the Gemara is like the minority opinion that you can't divorce your wife. If you can't afford to pay the ksuba, you're not allowed to divorce your wife because you're creating a chiyuv ksuba that you won't be able to live up to. Because when you're married, there is no chiyuv ksuba. That's the simple pshat. And the other, the most of the poskim say you can divorce her, even if you can't afford to pay the ksuba, but it's going to be uncomfortable. So he says that's also such, like the Navi says, I'm going to bring a terrible predicament and you'll be stuck. So that's a mashal for the case where Isha Rok Sabasam Ruva. Such a similar pasuk. Sinani Hashem bidei leruchakum. The Rebbeinu Shalom put me, that's an Eicha. The Rebbeinu Shalom put us in a predicament that the Goyim destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, destroyed, took over Eretz Yisrael, sent us into Golus. So Sinani Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom caused the Golus, bidei leruchakum. We can't krich harois from the blood. So that's referring to the Churban Beis Hamikdash and the Churban Haaretz. The same thing, he put us in a predicament that we can't get out of it. Either because al pidin, you're not allowed to divorce your wife if you can't afford to pay the ksuba, well, not al pidin, but it's going to be uncomfortable. You're going to divorce, you don't pay the ksuba, it'll be hanging over your head forever. The marava omru in Eretz Yisrael used to say a different word. What is that referring to? The Baruch Hashem gave me a makan and I can't krich out of it. That refers to a person who doesn't have his own farm and he can't plant his own vegetables. He has to go buy in the store, like all of us. We all buy in the store. So that's a curse. That's considered. The Tanoim and Amaraim, they held that it's always best to have your own little farm and to grow everything yourself. You have to spend money in the store, in the grocery store, to buy the food. So that's the price can always go up and you won't be able to afford it. So now the Gemara, it's a melitza. The Sinai Hashem B'day Luchal Kum refers to the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But he used to say it also, Al Derech Mashal, it refers to one who doesn't have his own vegetables and he has to buy in the store. So here also, part of the Techeche in Kisava says, Banech V'Nosech Nesunim L'Amacher, so what does it mean? It means the Jews will be sent into Golus and they'll sell us as slaves. They'll sell the Jews as slaves. So the Gemara says, also included in the curse of the Teichich is means a man lost his wife and he has children from the first wife and then he remarries. So a lot of times the stepmother is mean to the children. So it's like a curse. So that's a p'china like banach menasech nesunim l'amacher, as if they'll be taken. The young children are under the control of the stepmother who doesn't love them. She doesn't care for them. Tragedies happens all the time. Never. Then there's another possibility. Also in the Teichicha says begoy navol achisem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will cause us to be aggravated by bringing upon us a goy novel. What is that referring to, a goy novel? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Amar Rav zu isha ro. Rav apparently suffered a lot from his wife. So this is always the foremost in his mind, that the goy novel, achisem, is isha ro, uksubosam ruba. He's stuck in a terrible marriage, and he can't krich out of it because he can't afford to pay the ksub. That's not the pshat and the pasuk. Al derech malitza refers to that case also. Ablozer ame elu hatzedukim, or what's the? There's another girsa elu haminim. Why? Because goy novel. Novel means v'chein ha'emer. I'm a novel believer. Ain elohim. The novel says he doesn't believe in God. So those are the minim. It's dukim are the minim. They don't believe in God. So when the pasuk goy novel achisem, Kodesh Baruch Hu will cause the tzedukim or the minim to aggravate Bnei Yisrael. But Masnita Tana, there's a brisa that gives another interpretation. Elo anshei barbaria, anshei martinoi, shemalchem arumin batshuk. They walk around this like behemoths, walk without any clothing. So they're guns in a society. So if you have a nudist colony, that's a different thing. A ganze shita. But if it's not a nudist colony, it's the, like the Hamas, and they walk around undressed. That's a terrible thing. So that's, they made a comment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will send the Jews into Golus in such a country where the people who are balabatava over them will be on such a low level of society, they'll be like these barbarians, the Banshe barbarians and the Martinais. Rav Yechanan Omar Elu Chaverim. The Chaverim are the Zoroastrians, I think, some of the Avodah Zorah that they had at that time. Rav Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he didn't know what was going on in Bavel. He never came to Bavel. Omar Elu Rav Yechanan, he once told Rav Yechanan, also Chaver Le Bavel, that the Zoroastrians took over Bavel and all the Rabbanim in Bavel are going to suffer at their hands. Shoga, so he almost collapsed. Nofal. He's a terrible tragedy. Terrible tragedy. They're going to be under the control of the Avodah Zorah. They're not mechabed the Jews. They're not mechabed Talmid Chacham. Shoga Nofal. He collapsed. Omalei. But then they told Rabbi Yechon, it's not that bad because mekab leshechta. Because you can bribe them for a little money, they'll do what you want. So then, Toretz Yosef, then he sat up. Then he regained his composition, and he sat up, Nishta Zogefel. Yeah, that's throughout the history, the Jews, Yankel Avinu, when he was about to meet up with Esav, had to prepare for three different things, L'doron L'tfil Olam Al-Choma. So you had to prepare a Doron. That's the history of the Jews in Govel, Bovel, in Golos all the time. They had to always prepare for Sheikhat. Sheikhat to make a not Sheikhat that they should do something wrong. Sheikhat, they should treat us normally. Yeah. Then the Gemara says, but it's really a lot of the Gzeiros that the Goy make against the Jewish people. Gozrel, Shloshim, Epnei Shloshim. It's our own fault. We were Mezalzel on certain mitzvahs, and because we were Mezalzel, that's me, the Keneged me, that they punished us from the Shemaim. Shugozrel, Habosim, Epnei Hamatonis. Rashi says, there were Goy that they didn't allow the Jews to Shecht. Sounds like under the Nazis. The Nazis first prohibited the Shechita. First they said the Jews, the Ashkenazim, don't eat the hind quarter of the animal because we don't have a tradition how to trade with the flesh, how to remove the chelav. So we shrech the Ashkenazim, the Sfardim have a tradition, so they do trade, but they remove. Not only we only remove Gidon Moshe, but we don't remove all the chelav. So we sell the chelav to the Goy. But the Sfardim, they know how to take out the chelav. So the Nazis first made Xerah. They only allowed the Jews to shecht as many animals as we need, proportionately. We always shecht twice as many animals, because we sell the hindquarters to the goyim. So they said that shechita is tzar b'chaim, and we should only be allowed to shecht the proper amount. And then they said they did away with shechita and ganzen. Not allowed to shecht at all, because of tzar b'chaim. And then they were killing all the Jews. One thing led to the other. So apparently in the days of the Gemara, these chavri also made exert. They didn't allow the Jews to shecht. Why? So the Gemara says it was our fault from Behamatonis, because we're Mukhayev to give Zwalachayim Hakeva. Whenever you shecht the Behemas Chulin, and there were Mizalza, they weren't giving. It's not that everything is Tevil. If you're not Mafish, Jumas, and Mises, whatever grows in Eretzel is Tevil, it's an Isa Misa B'dei Shemaim. If you eat Tevil here, it's not Tevil, it's just that you're stealing the Maman HaKoyim. If you don't give the Zwalachayim Hakeva, you're cheating the Kohen. So because the Jews were mezalzal in the mitzvah of Zola Chayim HaKeva, so that's why we punished me, the Keneged me, so they didn't be goyim for a while, didn't allow us to shech. Gozol HaMerchatzos, they wouldn't allow the Jews to use the bathhouses to maintain your good health. Today everybody has a shower and a bath in his own house. And days of the Gemara, you had to go to a public bathhouse. So they wouldn't allow the Jews to use the public bathhouse, as if we have diseases and we're going to contaminate them, we're going to make them sick. Why were they guys on Anasma Pnei Atvila? Because the Jews were mezalzal and mikveh. We weren't always so careful about Taras HaMishpacha. So that's why we were punished midah keneged midah. And then come Chata Tishachvi, the guys were digging up dead bodies, from Jewish dead bodies. Why was that? Because the Jews used to celebrate on Kratzmach and on New Year's and on Halloween, whatever. We would be celebrating when we're not supposed to celebrate. So because we were celebrating on Avodah Zarah holiday, so midah keneged midah, we were punished that we should have extra avelus. Loi Dai that the people had to be buried, the relatives were buried, but now the goyim would dig out the bodies and we would have to have abelus all over again, have more aggravation over the fact that they were digging out the bodies. Shedema. The Navi says, Yad Hashem Bochem Ubavoy Seichem. The Rebbeinu Shalom will punish you and he will punish your ancestors, but the ancestors are dead already. So how can you punish the ancestors? The answer is, Nechatat Tishachve, they would, the goyim in the neighborhood will dig up, they go to the cemeteries, they'll be mavaza the Jewish cemeteries. That's what they still do now. So the Gemara says that's a punishment, Mida Kenegan Mida, because the Jews celebrate on the Goyish holidays. So what does it mean? Yad Hashem b'chem v'aboy seichem. Amar Rav Bashmo zuchit tute shachve. Dom amar, we have such a tradition, b'avon chayim, because of the sins of the living people, meisim mischatetim, because of our sins, that's why the meisim also have to suffer that they are dug out. Om le'rav le'rabbe b'amerik, see what the pasuk says in Navi, lo yosvav lo yikov lo dom al pen hadoma yihiyu. The day will come that people will be will die. They'll drop dead all over the place. It'll be like Zevil. The dead will be al adama yiyu. Then you have another pasuk that says, "Nivcham." The situation will be so bad. Nivcham maves mechaim. The living people will choose to die rather than to remain alive. What do you mean choose? But the pasuk says they're going to die. Says no one will bury them. It'll be a bizoyan after they'll die. La yasvu le korpa le dama pna dama. So how does the other pasuk fit in? Nivcham avis mechaim. Nivcham avis chaim is a punishment for living people that they'll choose to die. They'd rather die than to live like that because the living like that will be so aggravating. So how did the pasuk, the one pasuk doesn't fit in with the other? So Rava raised the question to Rabbi Maimer. Apparently Rabbi Maimer is a bigger expert than Tanakh. So he asked him, how do you read these two psukim? They're both in the same chapter in Yirmiyah, a few psukim apart from each other. One seems to be going on dead people, Kidoim and Alpnei Adam, the other pasuk says that the living people will choose to die. So he says, Anachanami, Amalei, so the expert on Tanakh, Rabbi Maimer, and says, Rabbi, Amalei, Nivcha, Moves, Lo Rishoyim, it's a judgment. It would have been better for the Rishoyim Shalo Yichlu Balam Azeh V'yechtu V'yiplu B'gehenim. That's what it means. Nivcham Obes Michayim, it would have been better. Not that the living people will choose to die, they would prefer to die. The Novi is sizing up the situation. It's a judgment. It's a statement of judgment. Would have been better for the Rishoyim that they shouldn't have been alive Balam Azeh because they're going to sin and go to Gehenim. Okay. Then the Gemara quotes from Ben Sira. Ben Sira is a book that has nice etzes in it, but it's not part of the Kisvei HaKadosh. It's part of the Svarim HaChitzonim. But the Gemara quotes a lot from the Ben Sira. A lot of the lines in Ben Sira are similar to Pesukim in Tanakh. A lot of them are identical with Pesukim in Mishlei. Because of the Sefer Ben Sira, so they quote a long quotation. Isha Toivah is Matana Toivah Lebailo. If you have a wonderful wife, that's a matan min hashamayim. Uchsiv, and then there's another line in Besira. They're quoting as if it's the Tanakh. Uchsiv, there's another line in Ben Sira that reads, Toiva b'cheki re'elikim tinosein. It's a toiva min hashamayim. If a yirei shamayim is blessed, he gets a schar b'olam hazeh, that he gets a tzadik as his wife. Isha ro'a tzaraz lebayla. If it's a witch of a wife, so then it's terrible. What should he do? My takante, what should one do if he's married to a witch? Yigashenev, yisrabi mitzarato, get rid of her. Sometimes that's what we said before. It's a tragedy to get divorced, but sometimes you have no choice, so you have to get divorced. Sometimes a mitzvah, gorish lates. Yeah. Isha yofa, a good-looking wife, is ashrei bailo. It's the good fortune of a husband. Mispayomav kiflayim. He'll live twice as long. If she's a good-looking wife, so it'll keep him younger, and then he'll live longer than normally. You should be careful, this is all from Ben Sira. Halam enecha me'esh ischein. You got to be careful not to fall in love with a very, when you're looking to get married, don't fall for the girl's good looks. As it say in Esh Ischail, Shekar achein behevel ayoyfe, isha yiras Hashem hitisalol. So in the Bir Hagro, they quote, first you have to decide if the girl is Yiras Shamayim. Isha Yiras Hashem, he tisalal b'cheinu b'yofi. Then it makes sense. Other Mephoshim also say like that. Then it makes sense to praise her over the fact that she's good looking also. But to look first for the good looks, then you're going to fall, then you may fall in. Don't look for the good looks. Penti loche bim tzudasa. Lest you will be trapped in her trap. You'll fall for the girl and she's not for you. And you have to be careful. If you have a girl, a very good looking woman, married to a friend of yours, you better be careful. Don't visit the husband to drink wine or beer with him. Don't stay over by the husband of this good looking Eshesish. Why? Many people fall for the good looks and then they'll sin with an Eshesish. The Torah Isha Yafa, the good looks of the woman. Many people tell them Atzuvim Kol Harugah, and you can sin. People have to be careful today. In the newspapers, Kiseida, people with reputations that had a whole life, a wonderful reputation, then they sin with an Eishes Ish. So the whole reputation, the whole life's reputation, is destroyed. Atzuvim Kol Harugah.
Rashi says
Halim Yerech
Eishes Chayim. He says Shabbat.
An Eishes Ish. Doesn't go on a single girl. Okay. That's on the single girl. Okay. And this is on an Eishes Ish. The rest of the next line is talking about an Eishes Ish. Halei Melech goes on a good looking Eishes Ish. Yeah. Rabim Hoyu Pitzi Roichal Hamargilim Ladvar Avera. The Roichalim Hamachzirim Bayoris. The full of brush man are the one who sells cosmetics, and he goes from door to door and he sells. So many of these merchants who sell cosmetics, they see a good looking woman and the husband is not home, he's in the office, he's in the business, and they sin with the Eishes Ish. So Ben Sira complains about that. Rabim Hoye Pitzi Roichal Hamagilim Adva Vera. It's genitza, it's mabeg achelis. It's like a spark that you have one little spark. The Eishes Ish is very good looking, and then the fellow who's traveling around, the husband is not here. He'll violate yichud, then he'll sin with the Eishes Ish. It's kiklub malayif, like a bird cage, and there can be a gansa machlekes among the birds in the birdcage. Came batei malei mirma. So too, you have to be careful. A good-looking woman may cause the one who sells the cosmetics, the roichal, may cause him to sell. Then he continues with other things. This is all about getting married. This, the end of the paragraph is all about getting married. Then, so they quoted a lot from Ben Sira about getting married, good-looking Eishes Ish and so on. And then he says another eight system. Don't worry about what's going to be tomorrow. You don't know what's going to be. Tomorrow will come. You may die before tomorrow comes. So what are you worried about? What's going to be tomorrow? You may not even live so long. Turns out that you were concerned. You were aggravated about what's going to be in the world. You're not going to be in the world. Don't worry so much about that. Don't worry so much about what's going to be tomorrow. We all have a responsibility to secure the future for ourselves. And it doesn't mean you shouldn't have an insurance policy. You have to have savings, and you have to have insurance, and you have to do things for the Jewish community. And Gemara in Tainus tells a story. There was an old man who was planting a tree that took 20 years till anything was going to grow. So they asked him, he planned to be around another 20 years. He was 90 years old already. So he said, when I was born into the world, there were these trees that were planted by people from an earlier generation. I have an obligation to society. Just like the people in the earlier generations planted trees, and I was then, I have an obligation to plant for the next generation. We all have an obligation to secure the future for the world and for the Jewish people and for our children. We all have. He doesn't mean don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be aggravated about what's going to be too much. Don't worry. Don't worry too much. But it does mean you should be. You shouldn't prepare for the future. There is a mitzvah to prepare. There is an obligation to prepare for the future. Moshe Rabbeinu, Rashi Achumash quotes from the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu sets aside three Ori Miklot, even though they weren't koilet until Yeshua ben Nun set aside the other three Ori Miklot. The Gemara learns that from the Pesukim, it's either six or nothing. So the three that Moshe Rabbeinu set aside didn't take effect at all. So what did he do it for? Because Talmid Chachamim, big Gedolim, set up systems for the future. We have an obligation to set up things for the future. It doesn't mean don't worry about the future at all. Don't be too concerned. Al Tatzah Tzoresma. Okay. Then what does he say? Menah Rabbi Mitach B'Yisecha. Don't have too many people visiting your home. You don't need too many people visiting. Well, I'll call Tavi B'Yisecha. Don't invite everyone to come. Rabbi Meir Dershe Shloimcha. Many people will ask how you're doing. However, Galei Sod Le'echa Me'alef. Don't reveal your secrets to everyone. One out of 1,000 acquaintances that you have to be careful. Whom do you pick as your friend? So this was all about, okay, what we were learning so far was all about the importance of getting married and to marry the right girl. Now the Gemara goes back to what they had, Dav Samach Beis. What does it say again? There was a machlokes in the Gemara. Are you in fulfillment of Piri Verivya if they had children and they died before the children themselves had children? So we paskin, you're not Yotze, but there was one opinion that you're Yotze Piri Verivya because the mitzvah Piri Verivya is to hasten the coming of Mashiach. Kodem Matan Torah, then the mitzvah applied even to the Umas Olam. It had nothing to do with the hastening of Mashiach. But after Matan Torah, the mitzvah only applies to the Jewish people. So that's why the Gemara quoted this memo. Amar Abasi, Ein Ben David Bo, Mashiach will only come at Shiach, will come Nasham Mesheba Guf. Guf is a chamber in heaven that's called Guf, Gimel Vav Pei. And when all those Jewish souls will be brought into the world, then Mashiach will come. So the obligation, the period of Yivya, is to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So even if the children die before they themselves have children, so what did you accomplish? You accomplished, you hasten the coming of Mashiach. How does he get this idea? So this, we're going back to what he quoted earlier. How does he know this idea that the Mashiach will come and all the neshamas were supposed to, all the Jewish neshamas will be born in the world? Shenema, kiruach nafana ya'atof. Ya'atof means that it's taking a long time. Ruach means the ruach of the geula, ruach of Mashiach. Kiruach nafana ya'atof, the ruach of geula is taking its time. Hayu Hatufim Daloven, I think Rashi quotes the Pasuk. Yatov Loshen Akodah. It's prolonging, it's taking a long time. And the Ruach refers to the Ruach of Geula. And the Neshamas Ani Asisi, because the Geula is waiting till all the Jewish Neshamas will be born into the world. Then the Gemara repeats again about the importance of having children. We'll just run through quickly. Tanya Rab Lezer Amakob Shein Isaac Peruvia. A person doesn't have children. He doesn't plan to get married. If a person tries, he can't find the shidduch, a different story. Or he tries to have, he's married, he can't have children, can't have, what can you do? But a person is condemned if he doesn't try. Mishen Isaac Piruvi, he doesn't even try to have children. He's not Isaac. He's Kilo Shefer Domin. Why? As if there was somebody there and he killed him. Shenem Meshef Chadam Badam Adam Meshafer. And next pasuk says Vatem Pruvu. So the two are written one next to the other. Pruvu is written right next to Shvichas Dam, right next to Ritzicha. Rabbi Yankel Tam, a different Tana says a different word. Kilo Memayit Hadmus. Hakadosh Baruch Hu created man B'tzelem Malakim. So we're supposed to duplicate it. We're supposed to do V'halachta B'drach. We're supposed to have children who will be born B'tzelem Malakim. Shenem B'kib B'tzelem Kim Asu Sa Adam. The next pasuk says Vatem Pruvu. So if a person doesn't plan to have children, doesn't even try, he's not even Isaac, Bepiri Verivya, then he's Memayit Bidmus. He's not creating, he's supposed to go do like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's like the Ribbono Shel Olam created man, Mitzalim Alakim, we should have babies, Mitzalim Alakim. Ben Azai says both, combination of both. Ben Azai Amar, one who doesn't have children, is Kilu Shefer Adama, or Memayit Hadmus. Both, he puts together what they both said, what the Tana Reb Lezer said and what the Tana Reb Yankim said. He says both. Omud Ad Ben Azai didn't marry. Either Tosis quotes, either he married Rabbi Akiva's daughter Nasa Vigiresh, the bottom line in the Tosis, they quote from Sota Davdala. They're not sure exactly what the story was. Either Ben Azai got married for a day or two, then he got divorced from Rabbi Akiva's daughter, or he never got married. So the Ben Azai, very nice. you're not Dairish. You say a nice idea. One who doesn't try to have children is Mamai Bidnemus and Kidu Shefer Damim, but you're not Noy Mekayim. Amalad Benazi, yes, Noy Dairish and Noy Mekayim. Some people say, speak nicely, and they observe the dinim that they observe. There are some people, Noy Mekayim, they don't know Dairish. They don't speak, but after Noy Dairish, they don't know Mekayim. You hold a ganze drasha about the importance of having children, but you yourself are not married. Amram ben Azai says, "Ma'esa shenam shechashka bater." He says, "Efshalodim sheiskam al deacher." Other people will marry and they'll have children. So that's the pella. What he means? So he says he's not going to daven and he's not going to eat matzah mor. He's not going to do any mitzvahs because he's crazy about learning. They're not allowed to do that. You have to fulfill the mitzvahs even though it takes away from learning. So that's what we explain in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. The mitzvah really is to transmit Yiddishkeit to the next generation. So the psukim say that one is megavel ben chaver malal kosel kili yelada. It's a partial kiyum mitzvah if you teach Torah to others, if you adopt the Jewish children, and you transmit Jewish values to those children. That's a partial kiyum mitzvah. So Ben Azai was a tana; he was teaching Torah to the public. So he was partially in fulfillment of the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Bishlei Musa is to have your own children and to transmit Torah values to your own children. But Koyamar Hashem L'Sarisim, Bacharu, how to say, Machzikim B'Brisi, they should support yeshivas. That's done. Sarisim are those who can't have their own children. They should support yeshivas. They should adopt children. So Ben Azai was like, he was teaching Torah all the time. So he was Yotze the mitzvah, Shalom Bishlei Musa. So in order to be Yotze Bishlei Musa, so he says he's not B'chayiv. Okay, we'll stop here. The price, this next price just repeats the same thing till the last line. Tana Rabban. Okay, next week we'll start from Tana Rabban. In this week's Sedra, you have an interesting lashon that appears, I think, 5 times. The Rabban Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu the text of the Nevuah that he should deliver to the Mitzriim, and sometimes the Bnei Yisrael. And 5 times he says, Koyamar Hashem. Here in Shvi, Koyamar Hashem Elokei Yisrael Shalach Asami. But it's 5 times, the same lashon, Koyamar Hashem. So this is a question. Rashi, in the beginning of Parshas Matos, quotes from the Tanoim, Rashi quotes in the Sifrei, that Kol Anavim Nisnaba B'Koyamar Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu says Koyamar Hashem Kachatzos HaLayla Ani Yotzei B'Soch Mitzrayim. That's in next week's Sedra. And in today's Sedra it says 5 times Koyamar Hashem. And all the other Nevim start off Koyamar Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu has a higher Madrega of Nevuah that he a lot of times says Zeh Hadavah Shetziv Hashem. Zeh Hadavah is a higher level of Nevuah. So when does Moshe Rabbeinu have the higher level? When does he have the lower level? How come sometimes he says Koyamar Hashem and sometimes he says Zeh Hadavah Shetziv Hashem? What is the difference between? Why is Zeh Hadavah a higher level of Nevuah and Koyamar Hashem is a lower level of Nevuah? The Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, Zeh Hadavah is only the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam says that we believe in 2 different, 13 Ikari Hamunah, 1 Ikari Hamunah, we believe in Nevuah. Nevuah is possible. And there is communication. We're included in the Nevuah is Tefillah. We can communicate with the Rabban Shalom. We daven. He can communicate with us. He can give us a Nevuah. There are some philosophers who think that it's impossible. How can there be communication between the infinite God and the finite human being? So what do you mean? How can it be? Kashaf HaMai said there was Nevuah. There will be Nevuah in the future. And there's Tefillah. There is a concept. There is communication. So the Rama has, that's 1 Iker in Emunah. We believe in Nevuah. Then he says, number 2, we believe that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu is Adon Hanavim. So Rav Soloveitchik delivered this talk on different occasions. One is, he wrote it up himself, the Hesped for Avelvala Soloveitchik. He wrote it up. But he said it years before. He said it in the 1940s. They already printed in his name a long time ago. He said it on different occasions. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was word for word. The Rabban Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the pasuk in Parshas Bahaloscha, this seeker, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah is Moshe Rabbeinu's Adon Hanavim. What do you mean Adon Hanavim? It means that the other Nevim says in Bahaloscha, Mi Yonu V'Achan Shem Amar Eilav Esfada Bachaloyim Adab Baloki Nabdi Moshe Pel Pel Dababoy. So what does it mean? The other Nevi'im had a Nevu'ah b'chaloyim, da'ara chaloyim, and then they had to say, using their own language, with their own terminology, what did they see in the Nevu'ah, in the vision. And each person says in his own Lashon. And the Gemara says, even if two Nevi'im are shown the same vision, the same chaloyim, no two people talk exactly the same, even twins. So each one's going to say, each one will describe differently what he saw. And Moshe Rabbeinu had a higher level of nevuah. He was given direct dictation, not a chaloyim, not a chazayim, in a vision. He says in his own words, he was given direct dictation. So whenever it says Zeh Hadavar Shetziv Hashem, it means that this is direct quotation, word for word, letter for letter from the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why the Gemara's Medayik sometimes dinim that a word in Chumash is written Malei Achaser, because we believe the Torah was dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu word for word and letter for letter. So Medayik from the fact he changed from Zohar to Negev, from Yochet to Rabbim, or it's written Malei, written Achaser, everything was dictated word for word, letter for letter to Moshe Rabbeinu. The other Nevi'im were not given word for word. They were given Harua Shoa. That's Rav Soloveitchik said over the Kasha from the Menchas Chinuch. There are very few Averis where the punishment is Misa B'dei Shemayim. Kores is a Mishnah. The Lama Vav Krisis Hamur is about the first Mishnah in Krisis. There are 36 Averis which the punishment is Kores. The Misa B'dei Shemayim is a Tosefta in Sanhedrin. The Gemara quotes a Tosefta around the Pei Dalet. Something like 11 or 12, not so many, less than 15 averis which there's Misa B'dei Shemayim. So one of the few averis that the punishment is Misa B'dei Shemayim is Oyvra Divrei Navi, whoever violates the instructions of a Navi. So the Menchas Chinuch is bothered with the Kasha, Moshe Rabbeinu given a Navi. So whatever Moshe Rabbeinu said, if you violate it, you talk Lashon Hara, you're Oyvra Divrei Navi. So everyone is Chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. A person says Kriya Shema, he missed his man Kriya Shema in the morning. So he's over al divrei navi. Say chay misa b'dei shemayim. So what do you need? A short list of the 12 people of chay misa b'dei shemayim. Every other then says in the chumash is over al divrei navi.
Didn't say that as navi.
Why?
Because you didn't say that as navi. As navi. Yes, that was Torah.
Oh, so that's what Rav Soloveitchik says. So different terutzim were given on this kasha. So the Ragachava has a teretz. Others give terutzim. So now the standard teretz is what Rav Soloveitchik said. Now everybody says that teretz. That by definition, nevuah means hayrashah, and a nevuah that's hayrashah, you see a chaloyim and a chazayin, and you interpret it using your own words. And all the five times in Parshas Va'era, and next week's Parsha also in Boy, when it says Koyamar Hashem, these were all hayrashah. Moshe Rabbeinu is predicting there's going to be this makkah, next makkah. It's not. He's not saying over the Taryag Mitzvah. He's saying over nevuah. So whenever it's a Hirosh Shoah, whenever it's not an Indian that's one of the Taryag Mitzvah, Noid L'Doris, the Moshe Rabbeinu's level of Nevuah was the same as the other Nevi'im. He saw a Chazon and a Chalom and a Mara HaNevuah when he was sleeping. And then when he woke up, he said it in his own Lashon. He said, that's called Koya Mar Hashem. This is approximately what the Ribbono Shel Olam said. Only when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the Taryag Mitzvah Satorah, then he was given then it was given direct dictation, word for word, and letter for letter. So, Oyvah Divrei Navi is only if you've not that the person is a Navi. If what he said is Betoris Nevuah, but if it's Noyeg L'Doris, then it's not Betoris Nevuah, then it's called Torah. And that's Alpi Pashtas, what the Pasuk means in Parshas Baal Oischa, that the uniqueness of Moshe Rabbeinu was Esmunas Hashem Yabid. He saw the image of God. How can you see the image of God? He does not elo t'muna. God doesn't have any image. And the answer is, all the mitzvahs in the Torah are noeg l'doris because the laws of the Torah never change, because the laws of the Torah, when you put everything all together, it's a description of Elokus. And just like Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, Rav Soloveitchik has in his published essays, he quotes that both the Balatanya and Rav Chaim Volozhin both give the same explanation. Why such an obstinate insistence that the laws of the Torah never change? The whole world keeps on changing. So why can't you change? Why can't the Ribbono Shel Olam change the laws? The answer is because the laws of the Torah are laws that have to be tzitzis and tefillin and shabbos and kashrus and taras hamishpacha. They're laws. But it's also when you put together all the taryag mitzvahs, it's a description of the essence of our Kodesh Baruch Hu, derech moshel. So that's what it means. It's munas Hashem yabit. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who was given a description of Elokus. That just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ani Hashem Lo Shanisi, the essence of Hashem doesn't change. So that's why the laws of the Torah never change. So that's whenever it says Zahadav Hashetziv Hashem, that's Moshe Rabbeinu is given a direct dictation of the Taryag Mitzvah HaTorah. So that's Zehadavah. Whenever Moshe Rabbeinu is saying Hai Rasha, Nevuah Hai Rasha, then it was the same Madrega of Nevuah, the Shaar Nevi'im, when it was given the Dinim that Anoig L'Doris, and that's only Moshe Rabbeinu was given. That's that the Rambam has a big essay, and the Pirush HaMishnah, usually the Rambam just writes Bekitzer. So in Perek Gid Anoshe, the Rambam has a long Arichas on this, that Gid Anoshe is binding today not because it was given to Yaakov Avinu, and Mitzvah Mil is binding today not because it was given to Avram Avinu. The mitzvahs are binding L'doris because they were given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. Mitam Avram Avinu would have been noig a couple of generations, and Gid Anoshe was given to Yaakov Avinu would have been noig a few generations. Wouldn't be noig L'doris. The only one that was given dinim L'doris was Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's why the means it's Munas Hashem Yabit. Moshe Rabbeinu was the only novi who was given dinim that are noig L'doris, and they never change. They're immutable because the dinim put everything together. All the dinim of the Torah. That's a description of Elokus Derech Moshe. So that's in today's Sedra. Yes. So it's only the Doris. The Rambam explains in the Mishnah because it was repeated at Har Sinai by Moshe Rabbeinu. Yaakov Avinu was given Gid Anoshe. He and his children would need Gid Anoshe, but it wasn't yet binding on the next generation. The next generation, they had a Moshe Rabbeinu had to repeat it.
We don't find Gid Anoshe mentioned.
So the Rambam learned that was the Machlekes Hatanoim in the Mishnah and Pergid Anoshe, and we passed like the Tana that it was only binding because it was repeated, even though it doesn't say in the Chumash. Correct. It doesn't say in the Chumash.
Cannot afford to do the whole Ksuba.
Can he divorce his wife?
There was a basis Ksuba that everybody can pay.
Yeah.
The Ksuba is when you add.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is the Gemara means.
Even if he can't even afford the basic Ksuba, he also has a right to divorce his wife.
I see.
And I'll pay it out.
I see. Because I thought that was like a limited amount.
Yeah.
Therefore,
basic
everybody
is very little.
Yeah.
Right. Basic Ksuba is very little.
So the Gemara thinks that even that he may not be able to.
Even if he can't afford that, yeah. The Gemara is talking, he had it on Tosefos.
Right.
Sebastian Mulder means it on Tosefos, yeah.
Okay. Thank you, Shkoyach.
I just wanted to thank you. My grandson stayed up with Yeshiva one shot.
He tells me, I said, you have a good? Good?